Step of blessings, everyone. If you can kneel where you're at, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with your presence once again and for the changing of the showbread. We thank you for the forgiveness of sin, the cleansing from unrighteousness, the latter rain, the faith that moves the mountains, everything that we need to glorify you. Thank you for letting us be alive in these last days to see your hand moved so often and so graphically. And we pray, Father, that we are worthy receptacles of the latter rain, and we understand that the latter rain will not wash away our sins. To receive it. Thank you for blessing everyone on the prayer list that we've been praying for. Help us do the work, because we need to get this work done, Father. Praying for last night, and Brother Randy, who's been ill, and Sister Rose, who's not feeling well now, and everyone that's on the prayer list. We thank you for all these things and all these blessings that you give us, give the church family, all the families in the church, the ministries that are involved, the men of God all around the world that are doing the work, and the women of God. We thank you for blessing us all with this work that you have called us to do. In his name. Amen, amen. Going in and out again. I left the room and came back in. That's all I did. Am I going in and out again? Yes, no. Some say yes. All right, let me try leaving the room again, and I'll come back in. So give me a minute. Okay. Me now. As I was saying, this computer takes forever to get into the room. Whereas a little netbook that I have gets in the room within 5 seconds. So, am I going in and out this time or no? Everything okay now? Echo sounds all right. Yeah. Okay, for some reason I don't know what's going on now. Hold on a second here. Could you put the link back in the room, Bonnie? There's some kind of a crash on the little tiny mini crash. Well, there's nothing I can do about that. There's nothing's on the mixer that's different. I don't know. I just don't know what's causing it. It could be on your end, too, though. You know. Well, I'm going in and out now because I'm walking away from the mic. So, all right, thanks. Let me put this on the server. All right. Okay. So, you hear me okay? And others, you know, so it could be like a DSL thing. So, I can do about that. Hey, for those of you on the radio and on the phone, we're in Great Controversy Chapter 18, and we're on page 326, second paragraph. That says, the angel had been sent to Daniel for the express purpose of explaining to him the point which he had failed to understand in the vision of the eighth chapter, the statements relative to time, unto 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. After bidding Daniel understand the matter and consider the vision, the very first words of the angel were, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. The word here translated, determined, literally signifies cut off. 70 weeks, representing 490 years, of course, because 7 times 7 is 49, and every day for a year, so that's 490 years, representing or 70 times 7 is 490. It's representing 490 years are declared by the ancient to be cut off as specifically pertaining to the Jews. But from what time? From what were they cut off? As the 2300 days was the only period of time mentioned in Daniel chapter 8, it must be the period from which the 70 weeks were cut off. The 70 weeks must therefore be a part of 2300 days, and the two periods must begin together. And you can verify this too if you did the study on your own. When you calculate it and you start in the 457 BC and you go forward 483 years because there's that week of Daniel, a week before the 490 years is over, you know, in other words, from 7 years before the probation ends for the Jews, Messiah is to show up. And, you know, and then that's when Jesus actually showed up. So if you put all those calculations together, you'll find that, yeah, this is definitely the 490 years is a part of the 2300 years. So she goes on to say that the 70 weeks were declared by the angel to date from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. So if the date of this commandment could be found, then the starting point for the great period of the 2300 days would be ascertained. In the 7th chapter of Ezra, the decree is found, verses 12 to 26. In its completest form, it was issued by Artaxerxes, king of Persia, 457 B.C. But in Ezra chapter 6, verse 14, the house of the Lord at Jerusalem is said that to have been built according to the commandment or the decree of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. These three kings, in originating, reaffirming, and completing the decree, brought it to the perfection required by the prophecy to mark the beginning of the 2300 years. So taking 457 B.C., the time when the decree was completed, as the date of the commandment, every specification of the prophecy concerning the 70 weeks was seen to have been fulfilled. From the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, namely 69 weeks, or 483 years. Because, you know, the 7 years is, or what they, you know, people that study prophecy call the week of Daniel. And this, by the way, like if you do a study in eschatology, if you will, like you match historic events with prophecy, and you see what all these secret rapture and these 7 year tribbers are doing, they're actually ripping to shreds a chronological order of a prophetic event. They're saying that the week of Daniel happens at the end of the world when the Antichrist comes and you get this 3.5 years of peace and then 3.5 years of craziness, or 7 years of tribulation altogether. And some people are, you know, are post, pre, and mid-tribulation theorists when it comes to their so-called secret rapture. But they all do the same thing. They all take the 7 years, the most amazing prophecy of all time, when Messiah, Jesus Christ himself, is to start his ministry on earth preaching the truth for 3.5 years, and then the apostles pick it up and finish it for 3.5 more years with just the Jews. So that 7 years has always been chronologically locked in time to be when Jesus arrived. But what they do is they take that 7 year period and they put it at the end of the world and say that's when it's going to happen. And if you just do a study in prophecy and you see this, nowhere in the Bible does it say to do that. Everything's in chronological order. It's inside the 2300-year prophecy, which means you can't even yank it out of there, and it's also inside the 490-year prophecy. So they're ripping it out of two major prophecies right there, you know, dated prophecies, no less. So she goes on to say that the decree of Artaxerxes went into effect in the autumn of 457 B.C. From this date, 483 years extends to the autumn of 27 A.D., Now, this is where I kept messing up when I was first studying this, I don't know, 15 years ago, where I kept coming to the year 26 A.D. or 28 A.D. I can't remember what it was. Until I was going back and forth. This went on for like a week. I could not figure out, why am I a year off? Until I realized there is a transition. There's a year zero. Or maybe there isn't a year. I can't remember. The calculation was, I was off by 1 year because of the way we went from B.C. to A.D., So at that time, she says, this prophecy was fulfilled. The word Messiah signifies the anointed one. In the autumn of 27 A.D., Jesus Christ was baptized by John and received the anointing of the Spirit. The Apostle Peter testifies that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And the Savior himself declared, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor," Luke 4, verse 18. After his baptism, he went into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled," Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. That's pretty blunt. And then it says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." The week here brought to view is the last one of the 70. It is the last 7 years of the period allotted especially to the Jews. During this time, extending from 27 AD to 34 AD, Christ, at first in person and afterward by his disciples, extended the gospel invitation especially to the Jews. Because, judgment always starts in the church, and was the church at that time. We're the Jewish people. Just like what's going on now. Judgment starts at the church. The children of God are being, preached onto by many of us that come out of the, that go out into the world from the Seventh-day Remnant people and try to share with all the people, especially the Seventh-day Adventists, because they're the ones that had the message in the ninth hour. So she goes on, "As the apostles went forth with the good tidings of the kingdom, the Savior's direction was, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 and 6, because the prophecy was plain. They were going to get 490 years to get it right. They ain't going to remove a day or add a day. It's just, you got 490 years to get right with God, to get back on track. And then she goes on, of course, quoting from Daniel, "In the midst of the week shall cause the in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." Well, in AD 31, which is actually 3.5 years after his baptism, our Lord Jesus was crucified. She says, with the great sacrifice offered upon Calvary, which ended that system of offerings which for 4,000 years had pointed toward the Lamb of God. Type had met anti-type, and all the sacrifices and oblations of the ceremonial system were there to cease it, like it says in Colossians chapter 2. And so everything that was, all the oblations, all the sacrifices, it was taken care of. That's why Jesus said with his last breath, "It is finished." With the last few moments of his life, he said, "It is finished." So going on, she says, "The 70 weeks or 490 years, especially allotted to the Jews, ended, as we have seen at AD 34. At that time, through the action of the Jewish Sanhedrin, the nation sealed its rejection of the gospel by the martyrdom of Stephen and the persecution of the followers of Christ. Then the message of salvation, no longer restricted to the chosen people, was given to the world. The disciples, forced by persecution to flee from Jerusalem, went everywhere preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Peter, divinely guided, opened the gospel to the centurion of Caesarea. The God-fearing Cornelius and the ardent Paul, one to the faith of Christ, was commissioned to carry the glad tidings far hence unto the Gentiles," it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. In 5 and then 22 verse 21. Thus far, every specification of the prophecies is strikingly fulfilled, and the beginning of the 70 weeks is fixed beyond question at 457 BC and their expiration in AD 34. And the reason you don't hear about these kind of dates and these prophetic events in the Sunday keeping churches is because, well, for one, they don't understand prophecy. Number two, if they did, they wouldn't be in the Sunday keeping churches. The devil keeps them. It's just like, it's no different than the Catholic Church hiding the fact that they killed 83.3 times more people than Hitler, or what Jesus called the Great Tribulation. But if people know about the 500 million people that are killed by the Roman Catholic Church, then they'll be able to put two and two together and realize that the Great Tribulation, or what they call today the seven-year trib, when they take this one prophecy out of chronological order and they put it at the end of the world and say there's going to be a great tribulation and all these people are going to die, they're going to realize that they are wrong, because look, for 500 million Christians to be slaughtered by the Roman Catholic Church, do you honestly believe that Jesus would have missed a prophetic event like that and didn't mention in prophecy? No. That's why the Catholic Church changed history. To the best of their ability, they kept that fact from anybody. They made sure that, you know, nobody knew. Like, for example, when I was growing up and I was learning about history, all they told about that specific time in the history was they called it the Dark Ages. You know? And the only thing I can, reasoning I could understand as to why they said that was for two reasons. Spirituality was shot. It was, there was nothing of it. It was just sin running rampant all over the place. Or number two, all the books were missing. No one could really tell what was going on. So it was like the Dark Ages. You couldn't really figure it out. But I praise the Lord, later on in life, I was directed back into the truth and found out what, thanks, Brother Dick. That's what it was. There is no year zero, but there were two number, there were two year ones. Like, you got 3 BC, 2 BC, 1 BC, and then 1 AD, 2 AD, 3, like that. So that's where I was messing up. So I couldn't remember if it was a year zero or if there was a double on the number one thing. So thanks, brother. So it was like 15 years ago when I calculated it. And once I got it, I just forgot about it. See, that's how I've always done it. I've always write things down. And that's what ended up causing the website to be created, because once I figure something out, I write it down so I don't forget it if I need to go back into my notes and dig it up. I would have eventually found it had I just dug in my notes. But, and I don't know why I've always done that, but a lot of stuff still sticks with me, though, because of sharing it over and over and over again. So anyway, she goes on to say, from this data, there is no difficulty in finding the termination of the 2300 days. The 70 weeks, 490 days, having been cut off from the 2300, there were 1,800 days left remaining. After the end of 490 days, the 1,810 days were still to be fulfilled. From 34 AD, 1,810 years extends to 1844. Consequently, the 2,300 days of Daniel 8:14 terminate in 1844. At the expiration of this great prophetic period, upon the testimony of the angel of God, the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Thus, the time of the cleansing of the sanctuary, which was almost universally believed to be to take place at the Second Advent, was definitely pointed out. And I like the way she points that out there, too. Universally believed to take place at the Second Advent. Because Roman Catholicism had infected the truth. As it said, they trampled it underfoot. That was prophesied. They were going to do it, and so they did. And so a lot of people thought that at the Second Coming, Jesus Christ would do judgment. Because no one read Revelation. I actually run into pastors on the street, and I remember being a member of a church back when I was a Sunday keeper, where the pastor says, you don't have to read Revelation because you're not going to be here anyway. You're going to be raptured off the planet, and the only people that should be reading Revelation are the ones that are going to be left behind. And so we, you know, everybody thought that, you know, Judgment Day was Judgment Day when he did all the judgment, but no one actually read in Revelation where it says that the Lord actually brings his reward with him, which means judgment's done when he's supposed to have Eastern sky. Judgment's done at the Second Advent. It's done. Actually, it's done a year in advance, or however long it takes for the plagues to fall. And so this is one of the reasons they had this, and I'm sure she's going to get into this, that the great disappointment, which was also prophesied in the book of Revelation, that the people of God, and this is before the Seventh-day Adventist Church was even formed, right? And so still to this day, a lot of people blame the Seventh-day Adventist Church as being the ones that came up with that prophecy that Jesus was going to split the eastern sky and come back on October 22nd, 1844. And when in fact it was just Miller, you know, William Miller and the Millerites and that. But it was prophesied to happen. You know, you got the book that's sweet in the mouth and bitter in the belly in the book of Revelation. And anyway, I'm sure she's going to get into that. So she goes on and says that Miller and his associates at first believed that the 2300 days would terminate in the spring of 1844, whereas the prophecy points to the autumn of that year. This the misapprehension of this point brought disappointment and perplexity to those who had fixed upon the earlier date at the time of the Lord's coming. But this did not in the least affect the strength of the argument showing that the 2300 days terminated in the year 1844, and the great event represented by the cleansing of the sanctuary must then take place. Entering upon the study of the scriptures, as he had done, in order to prove that there were that they were a revelation from God, Miller had not, at the outset, the slightest expectation of reaching the conclusion at which he had now arrived. He himself could hardly credit the results of his investigation. But the scripture evidence was too clear and forcible to be set aside. He had devoted 2 years to the study of the Bible when in 1818 he reached the solemn conviction that in about 25 years, Christ would appear for the redemption of his people. I need not speak, says Miller, of the joy that filled my heart in view of the delightful prospect, you know, sweet in the mouth, nor of the ardent longings of my soul for participation in the joys of the redeemed. The Bible was now to me a new book. It was indeed a feast of reason. All that was dark, mystical, or obscure to me in its teachings had been dissipated from my mind before the clear light that now dawned from its sacred pages. And oh, how bright and glorious the truth appeared. All the contradictions and inconsistencies I had before found in the Word were gone. And although there were many portions of which I was not satisfied I had a full understanding, yet so much light had emanated from it to the illumination of my before darkened mind that I felt a delight in studying the scripture which I had not before supposed could be derived from its teachings. That's from Bliss's book, page 76 and 77. And a lot of us that have been in the scriptures many, many years know exactly what he's talking about, the way the Lord opens up the Word to your mind, after you show you're honestly desiring to find out what's being said there. He'll bring it to your understanding. She goes on to quote again from Bliss's book, it looks like, and this is a pretty good-sized quote here. Oh, no, this is a smaller one. I'm looking down too low. Where it says, with the solemn conviction that such momentous events were predicted in the scriptures to be fulfilled in so short of a space of time, the question came home to me with mighty power regarding my duty to the world, in view of the evidence that had affected my own mind. And that's, of course, from the same book, but now page 81. He could not but feel that it was his duty to impart to others the light which he had received. He expected to encounter opposition from the ungodly, but was confident that all Christians would rejoice in the hope of meeting the Savior whom they professed to love. His only fear was that in their great joy at the prospect of glorious deliverance, so soon to be consummated, many would receive the doctrine without suffering, examining the scriptures in demonstration of its truth. He therefore hesitated to present it. In other words, a lot of people, you know, would have joined in with the movement, if you will, for merely fire insurance. And as the end result shows, that's mostly what happened anyway. They were only being part of, they only wanted to be part of the number because, they didn't want to go to hell because they thought Jesus was coming back and said, well, we ever get right with you. It's just kind of like with the dark day of 1780, I think, where the congressmen were putting candles lit up in the windows to let the Lord know that they're, because they thought it was the second coming, because there was darkness at noonday. They didn't know what was going on. There was no clouds or nothing. It was just dark. And so they figured, well, let's put candles in the windows to let the Lord know that we are at our post doing our job. No preparation whatsoever. Just a form of acknowledgement out of fear, out of just sheer fear. So going on, he says, or she says, he therefore hesitated to present it, lest he should be in error and by the means of misleading, and be the means of misleading others. He was thus led to review the evidences in support of the conclusions which he had arrived and to consider carefully every difficulty which presented itself to his mind. He found that objections vanished before the light of God's word as mist before the rays of the sun. 5 years spent thus left him fully convinced of the correctness of his position. Again, that with the deep, you know, that being deep in the back of the mind that the second coming means judgment day. You know, that's the only thing that he missed. And she goes, and now the duty of making known to others what he believed to be so clearly taught in the scriptures urged itself with a new force upon him. When I was about my business, he said, it was continually ringing in my ears. Go and tell the word of their danger. This text was constantly occurring to me. when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked of his, from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. In other words, you did your job. You did what you're supposed to do. That's Ezekiel 33, of course, verses 8 and 9. And then she goes on to say, or quote from Bliss's book, I felt that if the wicked could be effectually warned, multitudes of them would repent, and that if they were not warned, their blood might be required at my hand. And that's Bliss's book, page 92. And this is more or less the same story for us today. Think about this. The overwhelming grand majority of the people out there, including the ones that call themselves Christians, don't know what you know. In fact, they don't know what your kids know. That's one of the most amazing things that I've seen with this movement that I'm a part of, is the children in this movement, even if they're not walking correctly yet, let's say, because they're part of their church family, they're part of their parents' family, they understand things, basic prophetic events, basic doctrines, like Sabbath, for example, and basic truths. Christianity 101 that we understand is something a theologian can't even grasp out there in the world, in their Sunday-keeping churches. And so you can stand like Ezekiel in Ezekiel 33 and very easily walk up to somebody, even if he's some like a pastor in a church, and you could proclaim truth to him as a babe in Christ and still be considered blessed in his eyes when it comes to the fact that you understand things that he never really understood in the Word before. And don't go overboard, of course, just preach that which you already understand and know and have realized and have experienced. The easiest thing in the world, of course, is to just, you know, share Jesus Christ, what he has done for you, kind of a thing, you know, like with even Legion, you know, what the very day that he was cast free of all the demons, he went into the city and had amazing ministry after that. So, is there a problem in the room or something here? I thought there was some kind of a page wasn't showing up or something. All right, so going on, she says, he began to present his views in private as he had opportunity, praying that some minister might feel their force and devote himself to their promulgation. But he could not banish the conviction that he had a personal duty to perform in giving the warning, just like many of us have that same desire, like Jeremiah, the fire burning within him. You can't shut up. You got to get out there and tell the people what's going on, especially since you know, even your kids know, you know things they don't know. And like Ezekiel, you know, like the Lord said here in Ezekiel, if you don't warn them and you know what they're doing is wrong and you don't warn them, you're in a heap of trouble. You got to do what you can do. Even if it's just passing out tracts, that's fine. If you don't have, you know, like, for lack of a better word, the courage to get up and, like, do some street preaching, that's no big deal. The Lord knows how he created you, you know. But there's tracts. You can stick tracts in their hand, or you can stick tracts on the counter in the store, or you can stick tracts in the pockets of clothing in clothing stores, or in books in libraries, or in bookstores or whatever. Or even email tracks, you know. I send people links of videos that we as a church family are doing, because a lot of us are doing videos now in this church. There's all sorts of them. And I'm hopefully, what I'd like to do is get an email from everybody that's doing videos that's part of our number that have trusted videos. Send me their links to their videos, because I'm going to build a page on John 14:29 that links directly out to just those videos. Because I got enough videos on there as it is myself, but I'd like to be able to put all your videos to have them linked out from there as well. We got to get the word out, and if that's, you know, that's one way of doing it. And the Lord's been pushing me a lot on these videos lately. So going on, it says, the words were ever recurring to his mind, go and tell it to the world, their blood will I require at thy hand. For 9 years he waited, the burden still pressing upon his soul, until in 1813, he, for the first time publicly, gave the reasons of his faith. And let's end it here, okay, because we'll pick it up here next week. Elijah was called from the following for following his oxen in the field to receive the mantle going, so I'll just, highlight this spot here. I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared. Be back in a minute.